This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to Reporters Without Orders.
Order, order. Hello and welcome to Reporters Without Orders, a podcast where we talk about what made news, what didn't, and some things that absolutely shouldn't have. I'm your host, Snigdha, and joining me today is Hamida.
Hi.
Welcome to Reporters Without Orders.
Hi, it's my first time here. Thanks
for having me. I know, congratulations. So to all the listeners who don't know Hamida, she's recently joined News Laundry, and her latest report is on the Kureji protest in New Delhi that was recently shut down. And also over phone joining us are Basant and Ayan. Hello, guys.
Hello. Hi. Namaste.
So, this is Reporters in the Times of Coronavirus. We don't want too many people in office, so we've asked Basant and Ayan to stay at home and join us. Ayan recently did a report on how a bunch of passengers who had come to India from Europe were stranded at Indira Gandhi International Airport. And Basant has done a report on slum dwellers whose slums were burnt down during the riots and how they're not being allowed to build their slums again in the same area. So before we begin, I want to tell all the new listeners about News Laundry. We are a 100% ad-free news platform and we need your support to stay afloat. So please subscribe to us and pay to keep news free. Go to newslaundry.com/subscription and click on the subscribe button on the top right corner of the website. So guys, shall we start with some bizarre news stories?
Let us. Yeah.
Basant.
जी, जिस वक्त में कोरोना वायरस एक महामारी का रूप ले चुका है और दुनिया भर में इतने लोगों की मौत हो चुकी है, उस समय भी हमारे टीवी न्यूज चैनल जो उनकी नफरत का उनका पूरा एक तरीके का लंबे समय से नफरत का खेल रहे हैं, उसको छोड़ने को तैयार नहीं है। कोरोना के दौर में भी पड़ोसी मुल्क पाकिस्तान को गाली देने के लिए उन लोगों ने कोरोना का इस्तेमाल किया। जी न्यूज ने एक शो किया है, कल था 7:25 पर, अब कोरोना की मौत मरेगा पाकिस्तान। मतलब एक हद होती है कि आप किस हद तक जा सकते हैं, आप असंवेदनशील हो सकते हैं। न्यूज चैनल उस हद को भी पार कर रहे हैं, क्योंकि अपने दुश्मन की भी मरने की आदमी कभी वो नहीं करता कि मेरा दुश्मन भी मर जाए। और कोरोना को लेकर इस तरीके से तो मुझे ये इससे बड़ा विचार कुछ हो ही नहीं सकता।
जी देखते हैं, बाकी लोगों का सुन लेते हैं पहले। Hamida,
yeah.
Why don't you go?
Yeah. So, in times of coronavirus, one would think that scientific evidence plays a more important part. But according to this one BJP leader, he said that India mein coronavirus ho hi nahi sakta hai because apparently, like, it's home to 33 crore god and goddesses. So yahan pe coronavirus, it's like
sawal hi nahi hota,
yeah, yeah,
because
sawal.
We have too many gods.
Yeah, yeah. And when I was just coming to the office, and yeah, I was in an auto, so the auto wale uncle, he's telling me, because he looked at the fact that I had a mask and I had like gloves and everything, so he was like, "Acha, metro se?" I was like, "Ji." And he's like, "Ha, metro mein coronavirus ho raha hai, and metro ko band nahi kiya, mandir ko band kiya." And I was okay.
So you had a problem with temple shutting down.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously. Too sacred for coronavirus. Ayan, what about you?
Yeah, so my bizarre news is about Hollywood actor Jared Leto.
Yeah.
So he actually was in a desert, meditation camp, okay, for 12 days. He went to a desert.
Yeah.
And he actually returned yesterday. And only yesterday he found out about the coronavirus.
Wow.
All this while he was completely unaware of what was happening. The world has gone into panic mode, but this guy was, you know, full power. He was on his meditation mode.
Yeah.
And did not know anything
Vipassana
about
mode on.
The outbreak.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, all
I think
right.
There has been some really bizarre stuff, you know, regarding the coronavirus. I mean, just to add on to what Hamida said, recently this Gomutra party was also held, no?
Yeah.
On the 14th,
yeah.
I guess.
Oh my God.
Popular,
अच्छा स्निग्धा जी,
जी बताइए।
मैं इसमें जोड़ना चाह रहा हूँ कि मेरे मतलब बिहार के जिस इलाके में मेरा घर है, वहाँ काफी संख्या में लोग गोमूत्र पीने लगे हैं। और मुझे याद है मेरे घर पे गाय रहती है, तो जब पूजा पाठ का समय होता था तो लोग दूध लेने आते थे या गाय का गोबर लेने आते थे पूजा के दौरान के लिए। अब लोग पेशाब गाय का मूत्र लेने आ रहे हैं। तो मैंने कहा मतलब काफी संख्या में लोग आ रहे हैं हमारे इलाके में। तो ये हैरान करने वाली बात है कि एक अफवाह दिल्ली से चली और जाके बिहार के मतलब यहाँ से 1400 किलोमीटर दूर गांव में फैल चुकी है,
सब जगह फैल चुकी है। साउथ में भी ना, कर्नाटका में तो थे वो जो गोबर स्नान कर रहे थे टैंक में लोग। I also saw on Twitter somebody had shared their account. They went to some government office and as soon as they entered, somebody sprayed something onto their hands. So obviously, I mean, you would think it was sanitizer, yeah, right? Yeah. But it was Gomutra, and they were not even asked, like, oh my, you know.
Wow.
I mean, okay. Don't you? Yeah. They should take permission, yeah, right?
Exactly.
But anyway, so my bizarre news story, as usual, Basant, is bar mera India se nahi hai. So before you, before you attack me, so it's about coronavirus itself, but about Donald Trump. You know how he always claims to be expert on everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like for example, when the 9/11 thing had happened. He said that he had predicted it before in some book which he probably got a ghostwriter to write.
Simpsons ne bhi predict kiya tha. Johnny Bravo ne bhi predict kiya tha.
So anyway, something similar happened again at the White House at the press briefing before, because earlier Trump was quite, he was not taking coronavirus seriously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, whatever, so many rumors, fake news media and their partner, Democrat Party, is doing everything within its semi-considerable power to inflame the coronavirus situation. All right. But now suddenly there was a shift in tone. Okay. He's like suddenly as if it seems like he's taking it seriously. So somebody asked him like, what brought this shift in tone? So he's like, I have seen that where people actually liked... people actually liked his earlier tone, but he didn't feel any different. And he's like, I've always known this is a pandemic. I feel it was a pandemic long before people were calling it a pandemic. I've always viewed it as a very serious thing.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
so that was pretty bizarre. And actually, another strange thing, everything is related to coronavirus now. Idris Elba, he's
yeah.
tested positive, but he has no symptoms.
Yeah.
Which is so strange, right?
Yeah.
It's so scary. Anyway, moving on to our ground reports. Hamida, we'll start with Hamida since, you know, this is her first time. So Hamida, you did a report on the Kureji protests
yeah.
and how it was shut down. So can you tell people about Kureji and what it exactly was when it started?
So... once the protests in Jamia Millia Islamia had started along with Shaheen Bagh,
right.
So there's this one activist, there's a local activist over there, Khalid Saifi.
Yeah.
So he started the protest in Kureji and people started joining
and
him.
And where exactly is Kureji?
Kureji is in East Delhi, I believe. And it's near Patparganj area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm.
So... the protest started from there and then they gained momentum
mm-hmm.
and they've seen a lot of, in a sense, resistance from the police and that's how it came to the point where on 26th February it was completely like... cleared. The protest area was completely cleared. So the protest
and how
had been
did that
going.
Happen?
So the protest had been going on for more than 2 months, and then towards the end Feb, they had blocked the roads for 2 days, and then after that, the police came up to them and they said that you can't block the roads. It's very difficult. So then the protesters understood, and the protesters were like, okay, theek hai, you know, we'll go back to our protesting space and we'll protest from there.
We'll
yeah.
stop blocking the roads.
Yeah.
Okay.
But 2 days later, without any warning, they just came, and just like this one protester says, and it's a very harrowing line, they say that they came with guns like they were preparing for a raid.
Right, right.
Like it's like the moment I heard it, I couldn't help but imagine that one scene where they're sitting, they're protesting peacefully, and then the police comes.
The cops
just... Yeah, exactly. They just came and they started like...
breaking things down.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they started shooing the protesters away.
Right.
So it happened without any form of warning.
Right.
Nothing whatsoever.
Right. Did you speak to any other... So a lot of them were picked up, right?
Yeah.
By the police.
Yeah.
Some say 15,
yeah,
some
yeah,
say
yeah,
20.
Yeah. yeah.
So how many exactly were picked up? We don't know the exact number.
So according to the police, 7 were detained and right. 7 are absconding and they're okay. wanted.
Right.
According to the Shaheen Bagh's official...
This includes Khalid Saifi.
Yeah, this includes Khalid Saifi.
Khalid Saifi, for all the listeners, he's this... very local, well-known yeah. activist.
Yeah.
And he was detained, and during the hearing when yeah. He appeared in court, yeah. you know, he had multiple injuries.
Yeah, he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, a lot of people have raised their voices yeah. against his arrest. And yeah, so he was the main person,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, him and Ishrat Jahan. Ishrat Jahan is the ex-municipal...
Municipal councillor.
Yeah, municipal councillor of the Congress party.
Hmm.
And she was detained as well.
Right.
And she was manhandled quite brutally. Okay. Like, if you've seen one of those videos.
So, Hamida, at the Kureji protest, yeah. there was also reports of women being manhandled.
Yeah, yeah.
This was on 26th February.
Yeah, this was on 26th February. Like, it was around, some people say it was around 7, 8-ish. Some people say it was around 11, 12.
So, did you speak to any women who were manhandled?
I spoke to a protester who was there at that time when the cops had come and they were breaking things around her. And she said that they hadn't manhandled, but they had tried to scare everyone away.
Right.
But when I spoke to a male protester whose shop is nearby, he said that the protesters had been manhandled. So the point of contention basically comes where... people are saying that women protesters were manhandled, but they're actually referring to Ishrat Jahan being manhandled.
I see. Yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah. So the moment that video went viral, that's where a lot of people were like, oh,
a lot of other women were also manhandled.
Yeah. So, but when I spoke to that protester, she said that they hadn't been manhandled at all. They had only been scared off.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Basant, talking of protests and, you know, the riots that happened, aap abhi bhi riots ke aftermath ko cover kar rahe hain aur aap recently gaye the jahan pe jo slums ko jala diya gaya tha, wo kis area mein tha Basant?
Ye Ganga Vihar hai jo Loni border ke paas hai. Loni border wo jagah hai jahan UP aur Delhi ka border hai aur ye jo danga pravast ilaka tha Mustafabad wahan se 1 kilometer ki duri par hai.
Haan ji.
जी जी
अच्छा सो यहाँ पे पूरे जो मतलब झुग्गियों को जला दिया गया था और फिर लोग जो रह रहे थे वहाँ पे वो भाग गए थे है ना और अब वो वापस आना चाह रहे हैं तो उनको क्यों नहीं आने दिया जा रहा है
पूरी घटना जो है कि ये आपको पता होगा कि उत्तर प्रदेश से जो गृह मंत्री ने भी कहा कि काफी संख्या में लोग यूपी से आए हुए थे जो दंगा भड़का रहे थे
जी.
तो जो जो झुग्गी है वहां से 200 मीटर की दूरी पे एक जगह है जौहरी पुलिया उसको कहते हैं
जी.
तो जो उपद्रवी थे दंगाई थे उसी जगह पे थे और जो भी आसपास से आ रहे थे उनको मार रहे थे तो जब माहौल गड़बड़ हुआ तो ये जो जिन झुग्गियों में आग लगाई गई है वो मुस्लिम कम्युनिटी के लोग थे और जो जिस जगह पे ये झुग्गी है वो जल बोर्ड की जमीन है और नाले के बगल में ही है तो वहाँ लगभग 125 झुग्गियां हैं
अच्छा
लेकिन जली सिर्फ 6 और वो भी सिर्फ मुस्लिम कम्युनिटी के तो ये लोग 24 तारीख को ही जब माहौल गड़बड़ हुआ तो ये लोग अपनी झुग्गी छोड़ के जा चुके थे अपने आसपास के रिश्तेदारों के यहाँ 25 तारीख को हमारे एक साथी कॉरेस्पोंडेंट आयुष तिवारी उस इलाके में थे और उनके सामने ही एक भीड़ जो जय श्री राम के नारे लगाते हुए झुग्गियों के तरफ गई
जी, जी.
और आग लगाई आयुष ने अपने पुराने रिपोर्ट में इसका जिक्र भी किया
जी, जी.
तो उस छह झुग्गियों में आग लगा दिया गया अब वो घटना के लगभग 10-11 दिन बाद जब दंगे का पूरा माहौल शांत हो गया लोग जिंदगी मतलब फिर से दोबारा लोग शुरू करने लगे तो ये लोग अलग अलग झुग्गियों घरों मतलब रिश्तेदारों के यहाँ से अपनी झुग्गी बनाने के लिए पहुंचे इत्तफाक से हम लोग भी एक रिपोर्ट करने के लिए उधर ही गुजर रहे थे तो हमने सोचा चलो एक बार देखते हैं
हाँ.
हम गए तो ये लोग अपना झुग्गी दोबारा लगाना चाह रहे हैं इनका सब कुछ जल के खाक हो चुका है इन हाँ. उसमें कबाड़े की दुकान थी वो जल चुकी है वो ठेला था ऑटो रिक्शा था मतलब इनका सब कुछ जल चुका है
जी.
तो जो सामने कॉलोनी है अच्छी कॉलोनी है और उसके पीछे बाउंड्री के बाहर बाद ये झुग्गियां हैं तो अचानक से 100-150 की संख्या में लोग कॉलोनी के एक छत पे आ गए और कहने लगे कि हम यहाँ झुग्गी नहीं लगाने देंगे तुम लोग परेशान करते हो, ये 10 बातें हुई। फिर हमने जो एक उसमें व्यक्ति थे मनु शर्मा, जो काफी चिल्ला रहे थे और कह रहे थे मेरे पास कागज है, इनको हटाने का निर्देश मिला हुआ है, हम उनसे मिले। तो हाँ, इसमें कोई दो राय नहीं कि उनके पास एक ऑर्डर कॉपी है जो दिल्ली सरकार के जरिए उत्तर प्रदेश जल निगम को दिया गया है कि यहाँ से झुग्गियां हटाई जाए। वो 2019 का ऑर्डर है, ठीक। अच्छा। 2019 का ऑर्डर है, 2020 चल रहा है, वहां से हटाया नहीं गया।
अच्छा।
अभी उपमन्यु शर्मा कहना था कि यूपी पुलिस के पास फोर्स की कमी है, इसलिए इनको हटाया नहीं जा रहा।
उपमन्यु शर्मा कौन है?
एक वहाँ के लोकल रहने वाले
अच्छा,
हैं जो
कॉलोनी में रहते हैं।
कॉलोनी है
अच्छा, हाँ।
वो विरोध कर रहे हैं। तो मैंने पूछा कि एक चीज बताइए कि इस समय जब इनका सबको जल चुका है, एक मानवता के नाते भी इनको अभी तो रहने दिया जाना चाहिए। तो उनका जवाब था जो मुझे काफी परेशान किया, उन्होंने कहा कि अगर आपको एक बार कैंसर, आपका कैंसर सही हो जाए तो आप दोबारा चाहेंगे कि आपको कैंसर हो?
जी, मतलब ही बेसिकली कंपेयर्ड द पीपल हु वर लिविंग इन स्लम्स और एक्चुअली द एंटायर स्लम एरिया टू कैंसर।
हाँ, उनके लिए वो कैंसर ही है। मतलब वो कह रहे हैं कि ये लोग यहाँ हंगामा करते हैं, खुले में शौच करते हैं, दिन रात गाली गलौज करते हैं, इससे हम बारे परिवार पे इम्पैक्ट पड़ता है, पॉल्यूशन होता है। इससे इनकार नहीं किया जा सकता कि झुग्गी झोपड़ी में जिस तरीके का लोग खुले में शौच करते हैं, क्योंकि वहाँ बिजली है नहीं, शौचालय है नहीं, तो लोग जाएंगे कहाँ?
उनके पास ऑप्शन भी तो नहीं है कि ढंग का टॉयलेट हो, कि वो हम बाहर में नहीं जाएं।
जी जी,
या
तो इस तरीके से एक तो दंगे में उनका सब कुछ जल गया, दूसरा वो लोग रहने नहीं दे रहे उन लोग, मतलब अभी तक वो लोग अपनी झुग्गी नहीं बना पाए हैं, इधर उधर रह रहे हैं। हालांकि कुछ एनजीओ कोशिश कर रहे हैं कि जब तक हो सके वहाँ उनकी झुग्गी डल जाए, लेकिन अभी तक उनकी झुग्गी नहीं बन पाई है। जी,
ऑलराइट, मूविंग ऑन टू अयान। अयान, वेरी ब्रेव ऑफ यू, योर लास्ट रिपोर्ट अबाउट कोरोना वायरस screening and the stranded flyers. So Ayan, tell us, how did you land up there at the airport?
Yeah, so 2 days back on Monday, basically 400 to 500 passengers, I think, in fact more, I guess. So all these passengers, they had flown in from Paris and Frankfurt. And they landed at the Delhi airport between 9 and 10 a.m. on Monday morning.
Right.
And so as thermal testing is being conducted across international airports in the country, so all these passengers had to accordingly queue up. But what happened, there was a shortage of staff doing the medical tests. So because of which all these people, all these passengers, hundreds of passengers, they had to wait, you know, for as long as 9 hours inside the terminal.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know, after taking such long flights,
and they were all huddled tired, up together, right? If I'm not wrong.
Yeah. So that was very problematic. I mean, if you are trying to get people tested, then that should be done, you know, in isolation or at least in small groups.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest irony of the entire exercise. And that's what many passengers also pointed out.
Right.
So what was the point of getting people tested if 400 to 500 people were, you know, huddled together, made to stand in queues inside one single hall? So that was a very difficult, you know, experience for everyone.
Right.
And also all these passengers complained of, you know, a lack of cooperation and mismanagement from the airport officials inside the terminal. And also many people told me that they were not provided any food. They were just provided water, at, you know, from time to time, but no food was provided. And obviously, you know, among so many passengers, there were elderly people, pregnant women, children.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very difficult experience on Monday, I mean, throughout the day.
So what happened afterwards? Were they sent into quarantine or?
Yeah, exactly. So I reached the airport at around 5:30 in the evening. And till then, these passengers, still there, they were still outside the terminal only. Some people had been, you know, waiting inside, and some people had come out. So all these people were being taken to different quarantine facilities in buses. So I spoke to some CISF officials there, and they told me that as of now, I think there are 2 quarantine facilities, one in Gurgaon and the other is in Narela.
Right.
So all these people were taken in separate batches to these 2 quarantine facilities. And once these passengers arrive there, they would have to undergo 2 rounds of blood tests. And accordingly, I mean, depending on the results of the blood tests, they would be, you know, either kept in the quarantine facilities, or they would be allowed to come out.
I see.
But what appears as of now is that these people will have to be stationed there inside the quarantine facilities for at least 7 to 8 days.
Right.
Because each blood test takes 3 to 4 days for the results to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the arrangement being made as of now in the airport.
Right. So there are a lot of questions being raised about how the government and authorities are dealing with coronavirus, right? Our response has been quite seems like quite delayed. I mean, in terms of testing, and people are very concerned because not everybody, only people with travel history abroad are being tested for coronavirus. Even though many others who have not had a travel history, who have not been outside the country, they're showing symptoms.
So in case of the airport testing, the major complaint of the people was that, I mean, there were only 4 or 5 medical team,
doctors.
You know, 4 or 5 people from the medical team who were doing the test.
Right.
So how can you, you know, undertake such a huge exercise, you know?
And how many passengers were there?
At least around 500 people. So how
500
can 4
people and 4 doctors?
Yeah, just imagine the ratio. It's like more than 1:100. So obviously these kinds of things will take time. So the government should have employed more people on the ground to carry out the test. But that did not happen, and obviously people had to wait for like 7, 8, 9 hours.
Wow. And
in general, so far India, as compared to many other countries, India has adopted sort of, you can say, narrow criteria for tests to be done on suspect cases. Because as you have mentioned, you need to have first a travel history.
Hmm.
If you don't have that, then you need to have come across,
somebody
a confirmed case of coronavirus. Yeah. So these two are the criteria as of now. Now, questions have been asked to the government as to why the criteria has not been, expanded. But I think yesterday, the chief of the Indian Council for Medical Research, he said that the kind of protocol which has been advised by the WHO. That tests should be expanded and tests should cover as many people as possible.
Hmm.
He said that such a protocol does not apply to India as of now because the community spread of the virus has not been detected yet. So that is the argument. That is the defense of the government. But I think, as cases are only just going up in numbers, so I think the government will also have to widen its criteria and cover more people.
Yeah, so that's what the ICMR chief was also saying in an interview with NDTV, that we have way too many, our population is huge and it is a massive challenge to, test as many people as possible, because right now limited number of tests are available. And there was somebody else, I think Indian Express interviewed another ICMR scientist, and she said that we are trying to get more tests so that we can test more people.
Yeah, anyway, precisely. So we are a country of 1.3 billion and the medical infrastructure is already overburdened. Now, if there is a massive outbreak, as in China or in some other European countries, I think the country will be at a great risk. So the infrastructure, the facilities, the labs, everything needs to be ramped up as soon as possible.
Hmm.
Because the cases are only just going up, I don't know how long this threat, this medical emergency is going to continue. So I think the efforts need to be, stepped up as soon as possible.
Yeah. Hamida, you wanted to add something.
Yeah. So a friend of mine went to Ram Manohar Lohia Hospital. I think it's near CP. And because he had a 15-day cold and he wanted to get tested. So he was told to wait for over 4 hours, and he was given a questionnaire, and in that he was asked like basic symptoms, and then after that when he was called inside for screening, the nurse asked him about his symptoms, and when he said that he had a cold, he had a cough, and that was persisting for more than 15 days, she said that you don't have coronavirus, like, and she didn't even take a blood test. So he was quite visibly upset, and he was talking about how the tent that had been made was overcrowded, and he was talking about how he and other people who weren't that sick were being made to sit along with people who were visibly sick, and how that could increase the chances of coronavirus.
Yeah.
So it was quite a disappointing experience for
him. True. बसंत, आप कुछ कहना चाहते थे?
मैं कह रहा हूँ कि भारत में जो तैयारी है वो बहुत खास नहीं है, क्योंकि जब मेरी तबीयत खराब हुई थी पिछले दिनों और मैं रविवार की रात को कम से कम 25 बार जो हेल्पलाइन नंबर है दिल्ली के लिए उस पर कॉल किया, जिसमें 10 बार फोन तो लग गया लेकिन किसी ने उठाया नहीं, बाकी टाइम बेस्ट जा रहा था, 10 टाइम फोन लगा पर किसी ने उठाया नहीं। तो इस तरीके से मेरे जैसे कितने लोग होंगे जो फोन करते होंगे, हालांकि मैं ठीक हो गया, लेकिन बहुत सारे लोग हैं जो परेशान होते होंगे। तैयारी तो बेहतर नहीं है। बिहार में खबर आ रही है कि शायद 150 या 200 लोगों की जांच हुई है, बिहार की आबादी इतनी ज्यादा है और जांच सिर्फ 150 लोगों की हो रही है, तो फिर चीजें धीरे धीरे बढ़ेंगी।
सो वही तो अभी तक तो मतलब एज ऑफ टुडे देयर 147 केसेस, बट आई रिमेम्बर दैट रिपोर्ट ऑन मीडियम बाय थॉमस पेयो, राइट? I don't know how to pronounce his name. So, yeah, so he was talking about how in Spain, about maybe a little more than 2 weeks ago, the number of cases was similar to India, maybe something around 140 or whatever. And yeah, within 2 weeks, it shot up to 6,000.
Yeah, exactly. I think, apart from, the questionable efficacy of the health infrastructure in the country, I think, जब से ये कोरोना वायरस का ये शुरू हुआ है, देर हैव बीन कंप्लेंट्स फ्रॉम पीपल हु हैव बीन पुट इन आइसोलेशन वार्ड्स, बिकॉज इन माय नॉलेज देर आर एटलीस्ट 4 केसेस वेयर पीपल हैव कंप्लेंट ऑफ अनहाइजीनिक कंडीशंस ऑफ द आइसोलेशन
वार्ड्स। Somebody put up
another factor that the government needs to look into immediately. So there was a woman who complained in Agra, then there has been a case from Mangaluru, then there is another one from Mumbai, from Manesar also there was a case complaint, made against the unhygienic condition of these isolation wards. So, ye facility bas khara karna is one thing, and to maintain its quality, that's more exactly. important. So, that is another area that needs to be taken care of.
Right. All right. So, Ayan, before we end, I would also like you to tell us more about your report from last week about the 2 Malayalam channels which were briefly taken off air.
Yeah. So, the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting issued an order on the evening of March 6th.
Yes.
And the order basically said that 2 Malayalam channels, Asianet News and Media One, would be, the channels would be taken off air for 48 hours.
And
but,
why?
Once the order was passed, immediately there was a backlash, from the political parties in the opposition as well as from the media community, from the journalists. So then the government, I think they sensed, what had gone wrong. So they kind of rolled the order back next morning, on the morning of March 7. But both the channels had been briefly taken off air for some hours. So my story was about, the coverage, the kind of problematic coverage which had been done by other channels when the Delhi riots were being reported about, or the riots had still not subsided.
So just to tell our listeners that the channels were taken off air for their biased reporting on Delhi riots, supposedly biased reporting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in both the orders, the ministry said that the content of the coverage of both these channels, was potentially, capable of inciting the already problem, already communal or volatile atmosphere during the riots. So that was the complaint of the ministry.
Right.
And both the channels in their reply refuted these allegations, and they firmly stated that they had only stuck to the facts, and the facts which had also been reported by several other media organizations. So this was the reply from both the channels. And as things turned out, obviously the ministry had rolled back the order, so the issue kind of settled there only. But when I tried to pull out some contents by other channels during the riots, there was a lot of problematic stuff, inciting stuff, which could have, as the ministry complained, could have added to the already charged atmosphere. So, for example, I found 2 reports by Sudarshan News, which clearly targeted the minority community, which clearly targeted the Muslims as being behind the Delhi, the recent riots in Delhi.
Now,
official investigation into the riots is still underway, and there has been no conclusive evidence as of now. But if a channel like Sudarshan News, which commands, you know, substantial viewership, if they come up with conclusions and, you know, selectively targets one particular community, it clearly adds to the, you know, charged communal atmosphere.
Yeah.
And these reports were, I think, aired on February 27, 28, around that time. So the situation was still bad.
Right.
You know, efforts were on to calm the atmosphere. So I think these kinds of things, I mean, it's surprising how these things went unnoticed, you
Very
know, by the ministry.
Very clearly biased.
Clearly biased.
Yeah.
And this is Sudarshan News. There was a problematic report by Times Now as well. So Times Now had kind of carried a report which was partially incorrect, which said that, you know, they basically flashed a video in which the channel said that the gunman, there was a gunman in the video, and the channel said that the gunman was, you know, running towards the police, and he was trying to open fire at the police. Now, later, when fact-checking website Alt News decoded that report, they found that it was, you know, completely the opposite. The gunman was actually running towards the police after opening fire in the opposite direction.
I see. Right.
And this report, when it was aired, it was immediately picked up by, you know, Amit Malviya, the BJP's, you know, social media chief. And everybody knows the kind of traction these people have on social media. So it was widely shared. So this was a very dangerous report.
Right.
But again, this also slipped through the radar of the INB ministry, very surprisingly.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, these are some examples, you know, one from Sudarshan, two reports from Sudarshan News, then one from Times Now. And there was also one news report from News 8 in India also, their managing editor, Amish Devgan. He also, in one of his shows, he also, you know, very, very aggressively targeted the Muslim community. And he also suggested that everything, basically, the riots had its roots in the Shaheen Bagh anti-citizenship law demonstration.
Right.
But no evidence has come up as of now regarding the genesis of the violence, genesis of the riots. So for a news anchor to come up with that kind of allegation and conclusion, I think it was very dangerous.
Clearly.
So that's what my report tried to show.
But
none of them have
been held accountable.
No, none of them has been held accountable. All these reports were, if I'm to use the INB ministry's language, then if the content of Asianet News and Media One were biased, then these can be simply, you know, called as unbiased.
Right.
But in reality, they are not. So that is the problem. That is, you know, that clearly shows the selective targeting of certain channels by the ministry.
Right.
And that is what my report tried to show.
All right. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. Let's end with some recommendation. Basant.
मैं इस बार दो मेरा दो रिकमेंडेशन है पहला कि सुप्रीम कोर्ट के पूर्व जस्टिस मुख्य न्यायाधीश रंजन गोगोई अब राज्यसभा जा रहे हैं
जी
तो उस पे कैरवान ने पिछले महीने जो फरवरी का अंक था उस पे उन्होंने प्रोफाइल किया है
जी
जो अंग्रेजी में तो है ही पत्रिका में अंग्रेजी में पब्लिश है प्रकाशित हुई है हिंदी में अनुवाद होके वो उनके वेबसाइट पे मौजूद है अरसू जॉन ने किया है इसको ठीक है जिसका हेडलाइन है सीलबंद लिफाफे और फैसले आरसी रंजन गोगोई का सरकार को तोहफा ये थोड़ी लंबी रिपोर्ट है दो ढाई घंटे पढ़ने में लग सकता है लेकिन पढ़ना चाहिए कि किस तरीके से रंजन गोगोई जब उन्होंने दीपक मिश्रा के खिलाफ एक पीसी में बैठे और इस हीरो बन गए लेकिन क्या क्या किया है इस दौरान मुझे एक चीज पढ़ के काफी हैरानी हुई कि जब महबूबा मुफ्ती जो पूर्व सीएम है जम्मू एंड कश्मीर के यहाँ पे और उन्होंने कहा कि मुझे अपनी माँ से मिलने की इजाजत दी जाए और श्रीनगर में घूमने की इजाजत दी जाए तो चीफ जस्टिस ने कहा कि ठीक है हम अधिकारियों के साथ मिलने की अनुमति आपको देंगे लेकिन आप श्रीनगर में घूमना क्यों चाहती है श्रीनगर में अभी बहुत ठंड है अब जो व्यक्ति जहाँ का रहने वाला है वहाँ घूम नहीं सकता जैसे श्रीनगर तो उनका शहर है तो घूम नहीं सकती है तो इस तरीके की
आप इल्तिजा मुफ्ती की बात कर रहे हैं ना महबूबा मुफ्ती की बेटी
हाँ
जी जी जी
और दूसरा मेरा रिकमेंडेशन है मेरी और आयुष की एक रिपोर्ट है जो दिल्ली में जो दंगे हुए उसमें लाशें नाले से बरामद हुई है और नाले के अंदर बहुत सारी गाड़ियों को जला के फेंक दिया गया है। तो हमने काफी यात्रा करके हमने पता किया है कि कहाँ किसको कैसे जला मारा गया, किस तरीके से उनकी बॉडी मिली, कब तक बॉडी मिलती रही है। कुछ बॉडी 15 दिन बाद मिली है, कुछ 9 दिन बाद मिली है। तो इसको लेकर मेरी और आयुष की ग्राउंड रिपोर्ट है, वो भी मैं चाहूंगा कि दर्शक और श्रोता पढ़ें।
जी जरूर जरूर। अयान, व्हाट अबाउट यू?
Yeah, so I'm recommending an opinion piece. This piece actually came out a week back, but it's worth reading, so I'm still recommending it. So it's titled as Coronavirus Outbreak Highlights China's Dominance Over the Pharmaceutical Industry. Mm-hmm. It's written by Professor C. Rajamohan, who is an international affairs expert, and he writes for the Indian Express. So this one also came out in the Indian Express on March 10th. So basically what he has written is that the coronavirus outbreak has highlighted China's overwhelming position, overwhelming dominance over the pharmaceutical industry, because the opinion piece writes that up to 80% of the antibiotics in the Western countries, that is Europe and the United States of America, up to 80% of the antibiotics are imported from China. So now, in the middle of this crisis, these countries have faced a huge, national security crisis. So now they have realized that, the increasing dominance of China, not only over the pharmaceutical industry, over so many other sectors of, the industry, that if there is a crisis, there is an outbreak, then China basically, holds a leverage position, and all the other countries which entirely depend on China, they are exposed to a great risk.
Right.
So that is what he has tried to highlight in this opinion piece. So, right. I mean, apart from the pharmaceutical industry, as I have said, he also talks about some other sectors of the industry, some crucial sectors, which can, expose a similar problem in the future if there is a outbreak or some other disaster. So I think it's worth reading.
All right. Thank you. Hamida, what about you?
So, in times of social isolation, since we're all supposed to be locked up in our homes and quarantine ourselves, I've decided that I'll recommend a series by FX called Pose.
Mm-hmm.
It's during a time when HIV started to spread in the United States.
Right.
And it talks about, and it shows the journey of our protagonists, who are transgenders, by the way, and how they try to grapple with the disease while also performing in underground balls. So the protagonists are African American, and they're trying to grapple with racism and also with being transgender and also having
HIV positive.
Yeah. So one of the things which I really liked about the series was the way they showed how that even such a fatal disease didn't stop them from living, and how that can be a lesson for us during this time. Mm-hmm. That even though coronavirus seems like something that is unstoppable and that'll obviously, like, to some extent swallow us whole, doesn't mean that we can't take care of ourselves and we can't have fun, but also while washing our hands.
Yes, please, everybody, wash your hands as much as possible. And my recommendation, I have a couple of recommendations, because obviously we've been working from home, so reading and watching a lot of stuff. So my first recommendation is this Atlantic report called The Killing of a Colorado Rancher. It's this really gripping report about the mysterious disappearance of a 29-year-old man, and set against the backdrop of the Rocky Mountains in America. And Rachel Munro, who's the reporter, she walks the perfect line between brilliant storytelling and great reportage. And, there are elements of betrayal and family drama and, friendship, all kinds of, it's very interesting. So, yeah, that's my first recommendation. My second recommendation, since we've been talking about fake news, and even with coronavirus, there's so much of misinformation being spread. And even during the riots, what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So I would recommend all of you to listen to my podcast interview with data journalist Govindraj Ethiraj on busting fake news and data literacy. He talks about the importance of data literacy in India and how the quality of public discourse can be improved by making important data more accessible to people.
Yeah.
And so that is my second recommendation. And my third recommendation is this brilliant interview by Madhu Trehan of Atish Taseer from 2019. And Atish Taseer talks about the loss of languages in India and how Indians, you know, we don't really have a language of our own, especially the newer generation, because we're not really comfortable with English, nor are we very comfortable with Hindi, you know, our own.
Yeah, so it's yeah. like English.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. So he also talks about his book and religion and a whole ton of other stuff. So you must watch that interview. It's in two parts and you'll find it on YouTube. Also, listeners, our silent producer Parikshit has finally asked us to recommend something to you guys. It's this article on Daily Mail, and it is really shocking and extremely scary. It's about how dozens of members of a South Korean church were infected with coronavirus because the person who was spraying them with salt water spray to actually protect them forgot to wipe the bottle. And eventually, first six people, including the pastor, were tested positive. After that, 40 more people were tested positive. So Parikshit's recommendation to all of you is, do not be stupid. Yeah, thanks, so Parikshit. You'll find the article on dailymail.co.uk. So listeners, if you liked what you heard, please rate our podcast on iTunes or whatever platform you're tuned into. We also have a bunch of other podcasts like Awful and Awesome and Hafta. Better the rating, more the reach, and that in turn means more subscribers, and that in turn means better content.
And since all of you are now on social media and have nothing better to do than to track the spread of coronavirus, why don't you try to increase the spread of our content through Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and help us reach a better audience so that we can give you good journalism, not coronavirus infested.
All right. And listeners, you can also write to us. We're very eager to hear your feedback. So please write to us at contact@newslaundry.com with Reporters Without Orders in the subject line. You can also leave your comments on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And with that, this podcast is adjourned. Please stay safe, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Bye-bye.
All the News Laundry podcasts are available on Stitcher, iTunes, and any other podcast platform.
Please subscribe to News Laundry. Help us keep news independent. To catch all our podcasts on news, pop culture, current affairs and sport, visit newslaundry.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And subscribe to our YouTube channel.